Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? I'm recording this in 2021, and we're still not at the end of the current worldwide pandemic. People have been searching for comfort in all sorts of places, whether that's in family, in medicine, or in simply having more stuff. Where are Christians meant to find comfort? Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be playing some sermons I've been giving from the book of Isaiah. This book is foundational to the New Testament, and the New Testament authors seem to say that their message is in line with it. So we're going to see what it says, and we'll see where God calls us to find comfort too. Isaiah 48, page 735. Listen to this, you descendants of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel and come from the line of Judah, you who take oaths in the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness, you who call yourselves citizens of the holy city and claim to rely on the God of Israel, the Lord Almighty is his name. I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted and they came to pass. For I knew how stubborn you were. Your neck muscles were iron, your forehead was bronze. Therefore, I told you these things long ago. Before they happened, I announced them to you so that you could not say, my images brought them about. My wooden image and metal God ordained them. You have heard all these things. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. They are created now and not long ago. You have not heard of them before today, so you cannot say, yes, I knew of them. You have neither heard nor understood. From of old, your ears have not been open. Well, do I know how treacherous you are. You were called a rebel from birth. For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Listen to me, Jacob. Israel, whom I have called, I am he. I am the first and I am the last. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. Come together, all of you, and listen. Which of the idols has foretold these things? The Lord's chosen ally will carry out his purpose against Babylon. His arm will be against the Babylonians. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I will bring him, and he will succeed in his mission. Come near me and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the sovereign Lord has sent me, endowed with his spirit. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you'd paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name would never be blotted out nor destroyed from before me. Leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians. Announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. This is a critical chapter in many ways in the book of Isaiah. A chapter that gets used again and again in the New Testament, as well as in a number of songs, you might have noticed. But the big question Isaiah is asking this evening, the big question he wants us to be thinking about this evening is this. Why does God continue dealing with his people? Why does God continue dealing with his people? I mean, when you first think about that question, you might think to yourself, well, because he has to. That's just the way it is. To fail is only to be human. So God in his grace, well, he just has to put up with us. But we've seen throughout Isaiah that God can do whatever he wants. God is the creator God. And so nothing is impossible for him. God is the first and God is the last. He controls all things, so he can do whatever he wants. So we'd have to say, God doesn't have to do anything. Even the previous chapter of Isaiah, we were there a few weeks ago, Isaiah chapter 47, it showed us that God could topple a world superpower if he chooses. So why does he continue dealing with his people? One of the big objections to Christianity today is the way that so-called Christians behave. I mean, the world, they look at the church today and they say, well, Christianity isn't true. Whether it's flicking through the newspapers, listening to the radio, even chatting with people at the school gate. I mean, you only have to take one look at the news of abuse inside the church recently. The failures of Christians to live the way they claim. I think a lot of the argument can be summed up in that famous quote from Gandhi. I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Why then does God continue dealing with his people? Well, Isaiah 48 draws a vivid picture of God's people in Isaiah's day. And to put it simply, they are a mess. Just have a look at verses 1 and 2 with me. Listen to this, you descendants of Jacob. You who are called by the name Israel and come from the line of Judah, you who take oaths in the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or righteousness. You who call yourselves citizens of the holy city and claim to rely on the God of Israel, the Lord Almighty is his name. Do you see that? Isaiah is going through the names of Israel. They're the descendants of Jacob. That's their nationality. You who are called by the name Israel, that is their spiritual pedigree. Those who come from the line of Judah, that's their physical ancestry. They take oaths in the name of the Lord. They invoke the God of Israel. But, big point coming up, right in the center of the sandwich, to use the language from this morning, not in truth or righteousness. But not in truth or righteousness. See, the people of Israel, they are a mess. Or to put it in the words of Greta, all they're saying is, blah, blah, blah. See, there's no reality behind what they're saying. There's nothing real behind their words. They might live in Jerusalem. They might claim to rely on God. But it's all hot air. There's no substance to it. And the indictment continues. Have a look at verses 3 to 6. God reminds Israel of their past. They didn't listen to him back then. In fact, God knew they wouldn't listen back then. Have a look at verse 4. For I knew how stubborn you were. Your neck muscles were iron. Your forehead was bronze. I mean, that description, it takes us all the way back to the very formation of these people in Exodus. Ever since Israel has existed, they have been iron-necked bronze heads. Save that one for your children when they're being disobedient. You see, right out of Egypt, the people, they've been complaining. They've been distrusting God. God has told them that things are going to happen. He's demonstrated to them who he is by predicting the future. But they didn't listen. They didn't put their trust in him. In fact, Isaiah says, verse 5, the main reason God has told them this stuff is so they can't deny that God has actually done it. The main reason God told them was not so they could see, but so they could not deny that God has done it. And as the old adage goes, or history repeats itself, even today, Isaiah says in the second half of verse 6, they're still not listening. Even if God was to tell them something new, even if God was going to tell them something they'd never heard before, they still would not hear. Verse 8. You have neither heard nor understood. From of old, your ears have not been open. Well do I know how treacherous you are. You are called a rebel from birth. The verdict is damning. If only Israel would listen. In light of that, you might be hard-pressed to answer the question, why should God continue to deal with them? In fact, if we remember chapter 47, we'd remember that God is able to smite them, to destroy them off the face of the earth. So the obvious question is, why does God put up with an iron-necked, bronze-headed people. Why doesn't he just bring the whole project to an end? Why does God continue to deal with his people? Well, the answer comes in the second half of this chapter. And it is a truth that we need to hear today amidst all the failures that are going on. Why does God continue to deal with his people, even when history repeats itself, even when it leads to situations like this in Isaiah? Why does God continue dealing with his people? Well, the answer is for his glory and for the world's sake. For his glory and for the world's sake. Let's have a look at those two things in turn, shall we? First of all, for his glory. Have a look at verses 9 to 11 of Isaiah 48. For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. It's quite clear through there, isn't it? It is for God's own name that he continues to deal with his people. It is for God's glory that he does delay his wrath. It's for God's praise that he holds it back so that his people are not completely destroyed. Verse 10, the imagery is striking. It is good. It is a good thing that God has not refined his people like silver. Now, if you know anything about chemistry, you'll know that to refine something as silver is to completely purify it, to completely remove all the impurities, to remove any other metals that are in there. An iron-necked, bronze-headed people would not survive that process, would they? But God has kept the people going for his own glory. In fact, for God to let his people be destroyed would be to make him look bad. Just think what that's going to say to the rest of the world. In fact, the Bible gives us exactly what they would say, because God has said this already. God said this earlier in the Bible. God says, I dreaded the taunt of the enemy, lest the adversary misunderstand and say this, our hand has triumphed. The Lord has not done all this. So God will keep dealing with his people, and he will act to preserve his honor. He's going to keep a people. He's going to use Cyrus to destroy the Babylonians and to bring his people home. That's the Lord's chosen ally there in verse 14. That's Cyrus. That's him. Yeah, just think about it for a moment. Is a rescue, is taking Israel out of Babylon back into their land again, is that actually going to do anything? Is a rescue going to actually solve the problem? Perhaps it's pessimistic, but a rescue from Babylon isn't really going to do anything. As we've said, history has repeated itself before, and history is going to continue to repeat itself again. God has saved his people out of an oppressive nation before, and it didn't do very much. God has taken them from Egypt, hasn't he? He's brought them into a land, and what happens? They ignored him. No, something more is needed, something new. Well, you see, it's not just me being a grouch. I mean, grouch rhymes with couch, doesn't it? I've been told that a few times. No, Isaiah knows it to be true as well. Have a look at verse 16, because in verse 16, we get a hint at that new thing. We get a hint at something that is hidden away that we're going to be shown very soon. Come near and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the sovereign Lord has sent me, endowed with his spirit. See, it's just a faint whisper, right in the middle of this chapter, but one that should have us on the edge of our seats. Because there's something coming beyond Cyrus. There's someone coming beyond Cyrus. In fact, someone sent by the Lord, someone endowed with his spirit. See, that's what's going to make the difference. But we're not going to get ahead of ourselves, because Christmas is coming, and we might think some more then. And we've also got next week as well. But you see here, God is acting for his own honor. God is acting for his own name's sake. God is acting for his own glory. And the second part of the answer, God is acting for the world. Verses 17 to 22. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name would have never been blotted out nor destroyed before me. Leave Babylon. Flee from the Babylonians. Announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow from them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. You see, Israel's behavior, they put all of God's promise on the line. If only you'd paid attention to my commands, God says, you would have known peace like a river. I mean, that puts a different spin on the song, doesn't it? You'd have had descendants like the sand. Do you remember last week? Those are the promises made to Abraham. The promises to Abraham, they're on the line. They're only going to come true if God's people, if Israel listen to him. So God makes his plea with his people again. Trust me. Verse 20. Leave Babylon. Flee from the Babylonians. See, listen and trust what God's saying. Announce the Babylonians' defeat in advance. Proclaim it in exactly the same way that God is doing so in this chapter. It's really interesting that the word for proclaim is said about God in the first half and about Israel in the second half, exactly the same. See, if you really believe this, if Israel really believe that God's going to do this, they're going to speak it out. And why are they going to do that? For the sake of the world. Second half of verse 20. Send it out to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. The promises to Abraham of a worldwide blessing can come true, can only come true, if God's people listen and trust what he says. Because God has rescued before. Verse 21, that's a quote directly from the first Exodus. The first Exodus, the model for future salvation, the pattern that the worldwide rescue is going to take. God can do it. He's done it before, and he will certainly do it again. Why does God continue dealing with his people? Well, for his glory and for the world's sake. In fact, when you put those two answers together, they're not actually distinct. God's glory and the world, they're connected. I mean, we know that from the Pentateuch. Adam's task was to spread God's glory to the very ends of the earth. And that mission, it's been peppered throughout Isaiah 2. In fact, back where we started, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, God said this, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, the Lord has spoken, and therefore it will happen. But the people do need to pick their sides. Verse 22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. See, if you want to have peace like a river, well, you need to trust God and do what he says. But we're also going to need God to do a new thing. We'll need the solution that's going to come beyond Cyrus, because something needs to stop history repeating itself again. Unfortunately for us, that's why Isaiah is going to turn in Isaiah 49. But where does that leave us this evening? Well, for Israel, they need to realize that God is going to act. He is going to continue to deal with his people, but not just because he has to. See, there is grace where grace is needed, but the people of God, they need to listen to God. And if they really are listening to God, they're going to trust what God is doing. And they're going to declare it. They believe it up here, it's going to come out through their mouths. Despite the nation of Israel as a whole turning from God, God is not done with them yet. God is still going to act, but they're just going to need to wait. And God's promises, they still hold true today. His glory is still tied to his people. God's glory is tied to the church today. Even though the world around us can point at the failures, the scandals, God has tied his name to his church. And so he's not going to let his church fall. But he still wants his people to listen. He still wants his people to trust him. Because God will let those who reject him go. There is no peace for the wicked. On the final day, there will be justice for all of the abuse, for all of the failings within the church and without. But God will not forsake those who are his. God's people will endure. God's people will have peace with God. Brothers and sisters, this evening, there is remarkable security here in this passage. See, God doesn't save us because he has to, as if he has to do it begrudgingly. No, God's going to save his people because his glory is at stake. God does not want to let his glory go. He will not yield it to another. And because of that, we can give thanks that those who are God's are safe, no matter what may come. And so we can be those who announce, who proclaim to the ends of the earth that God has saved his people. And we can know the certainty that Christ will return and bring his people home. Why does God continue to deal with his people? Well, it's for his glory and for the world's sake.
Well, I hope you found some comfort there. Any feedback can be sent to me on podcast@david-couch.com. And I'll see you next time.